He's also an adjunct professor at the Center for Tropical Crops and Biocommodities at Queensland University of Technology in Australia. He's headed the National Banana Research Program of the NARO, Uganda, since 1997. In this position, he directs all research projects in bananas in NARO, including the ABSB2 banana project in Uganda. So, Tush, please, welcome.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good morning. My presentation is a continuation of a topic already introduced by Frank, and it's about the banana improvement project in Uganda, supporting agricultural research through Feed the Future with a strong involvement of the USAID mission in Uganda. And the partners are represented by the ROGOS, which you see down there. And by way of introduction, let me say the project I'm going to talk about is supported by USAID through two grants, a leader award and an associate award of the Uganda USAID mission. And with this support, we now have a highly successful program with world-class facilities and executing world-class research in banana biotechnology. Let me start by giving you some background information about Uganda and the crop. And specifically, in case some people have forgotten the location of Uganda, it's an East African country, a very small landlocked country, as you can see. More information about Uganda. The population of the country is about 32 million people, and the main agriculture activity in this country is the main economic activity is agriculture, which contributes about 20% to GDP and 48% of exports. The main export crops are coffee, tea, cotton, and flowers. But in terms of food, the priority food security crops are bananas, maize, beans, rice, cassava, potatoes, and an assortment of fruits and vegetables. This morning I'm going to concentrate on bananas, and the map on the side shows areas in Uganda where banana is the main crop. Each of those small dots represents about 500 hectares of bananas, and you can see that the concentration of banana is largely in southern Uganda, but the areas which are not dotted also want to grow bananas if the production constraints that prevent growth of the banana can be dealt with. Let me quickly go into the reasons why Ugandans like growing the banana. To Ugandans, it's the most important food security crop. And the reasons given usually are its perennial nature. A perennial crop, which is a staple, has many advantages. But the banana itself is a ratooning crop that fruits any time of the year, giving you food. And that to rural communities is very, very important. Communities tend to produce and sell all their produce going hungry. A banana will not allow you to do that. It will give you piecemeal fruits, which you use, and life continues. Food It is a food crop least disturbed by erratic rainfall. And as a result of climate change in Eastern Africa, for us, the major problem is unequal distribution of rains. It rains any time and all of it comes in 1 month and it stops. Timing when to plant is difficult, but a perennial crop like banana will already be there whether the rains delay or come too late. It's irrelevant, and that makes the banana a very important food security crop for communities in our region. Then the all-year-round provision of food, which I've already talked about, that it's a banana is a crop which fruits any time of the year, giving you all-year-round provision of food. In areas where the banana is the main crop, people never face hunger. We've not had famine in areas where banana is the staple. The southern areas of Uganda, which I showed you. And in terms of production, we produce about 10 million tons a year, and most of it, up to 98% of it, is consumed. The per capita consumption is estimated at about 250 kilograms per person per year. The banana diversity, most of the bananas we grow are the one I've named East African cooking banana, the bigger bunch you see on the left, and in the extreme is a plantain AAB. I want to bring to your attention a mislabeling which you'll find in data prep, usually compiled by FAO. FAO calls the East African Highland Banana a plantain. So when you refer to FAO data, the data will show that Uganda produces mostly plantain. Actually, Uganda produces only 1% of our production is plantain. All the rest is banana, but 80% of the bananas we produce is the East African Highland cooking banana. This important crop has challenges. The challenges are the short plantation life. The complaint farmers will tell you when you go to them is that plantations are lasting a very short time. That they used to last 50 to 100 years, but these days they last less than 5 years. And that's a concern to farmers, which reduces their production. And low productivity. Potentially, you can harvest up to 60 tons per hectare if you have a very good plot, but the average productivity in Uganda now is about 6 tons per hectare. The yield gap is so big, and that is what we need to increase. And the causes of that are pests, diseases, soil fertility decline, and the banana itself has a limited genetic diversity by nature of the way it's propagated. It's a coronally propagated crop. And these slides are intended to show you the pests I've talked about, pests, two main pests which we are dealing with in our research, the banana weevil on the left and the nematodes on the right. And what the banana weevil does, it eats the comb, reducing the life of plantations. When farmers complain of short plantation life, it's the weevil to blame. And nematodes also cause toppling of bananas, also contributing to shortened plantation life. The other constraints that are of priority is the banana bacterial wilt, which causes rotting in fruits and wilting of plants. Then black sigatoka in the middle, which dries the leaves before the banana can fill up. And Fusarium wilt, which is a disease of desert bananas. The interventions we've tried since we noticed these problems are several, and we started research into this crop around 1990, and we started with what we considered easy things to do. We focused on developing coping strategies, mainly sanitation and better agronomy to manage these problems, particularly pests and diseases. Later we added a breeding program, but by the year 2000, we had noticed that these efforts are not going to give us what farmers would take. For instance, the breeding program was not succeeding, largely because the sources of resistance are wild bananas, and when you make crosses, you get hybrids which have the resistance, yes, but the fruits are unpalatable and less acceptable to consumers. And farmers have continued demanding that, yes, your hybrids are good, they have the resistance that we need, but the test is not what we want. We want our original bananas. And by 2000, we noticed that we needed another strategy that would give farmers the fruits that they want to eat. So that's when the ideas of using transgenic technologies started coming in. And around 1999, an opportunity presented itself to us. The president of Uganda directed that he wanted to see NARO acquire and apply modern cutting-edge scientific techniques in agricultural research. In fact, he went ahead and offered some money to be contributed by Uganda to the consultative group on international research. Uganda contributed as a member so that we link up with the scientists and in the CG system, and we bring these technologies to Uganda. We particularly linked with IPIGRI. And in 2000, a project was created on banana biotechnology, and banana was just a startup crop which would be used to later acquire the technologies and later expand to other crops. Then, that project which we have started was coordinated by INBAP. INBAP is an international network for improvement of bananas and plantain. It's a department of IPIGRI. And they were selected to coordinate international partners. In 2002, they approached USAID and the Rockefeller Foundation to give a hand in supporting this birding program, which was struggling without resources. And the initial resources from Uganda government, the Rockefeller Foundation, and USAID were used to develop the first lab, biotechnology lab, in Uganda. And this laboratory was inaugurated by none other than the president of Uganda in August 2003. The military man you see in the cap there is the president of the Republic of Uganda inaugurating the lab that was put up in 2003. And with the support of government behind us and USAID and the other partners who are being invited, ABST2 went ahead to spearhead the program that I'm going to talk about now. And I had already said the support came through a lead award from Washington here, and an associate award from the Uganda mission. And the project was designed to offer comprehensive capacity building integrated with the research in biotechnology. The idea was to develop, to acquire capacity and use this capacity to develop products as the Frank earlier described. And the Ugandan project therefore had those two key elements, capacity building, covering infrastructure and the human capacity, and using that capacity to develop, to insert resistance for black sigatoka, nematodes, bacterial wilt, and fusarium wilt. And those are the activities we are working on since 2004. And I will now quickly take you through the highlights of this program. To get the picture clear, I want to summarize where we were in 2004, and where we are by 2012. In 2004, when ABST2 came in, we had ambitions to apply biotechnology, but we didn't have functional institutions to regulate what we are going to do. We didn't have structures to manage biosafety. We had just had the molecular biology lab and cell culture labs, but they were very poorly equipped. We needed technologies from advanced institutions which had them, but we didn't have capacity to access them, and we didn't have capability to carry out transformations which we very much wanted to do. And we didn't have facilities like contained facilities where we would handle these crops if we generated them. So in terms of capacity, we were at zero, and that is 2004. And fast forward to 2012, we now have a strong biosafety and regulatory system in place. This is not only for banana, it's a national system that is in place to regulate all transgenic crops in the country. We have a biosafety desk office to coordinate at the Office of the National Council for Science and Technology to regulate, to manage the biosafety system. We have a fully equipped lab, we have the capability for technology transfer. Transformation is now routine in our lab. Containment greenhouse level 2. All in all, by now we would say we have a biotechnology lab that is considered one of the best in the world for banana transformation, and it is actually the only one for the East African cooking bananas. And this lab has attracted many people from the region and from other parts of the world to see how that things can possibly be done even in a third world country like Uganda. Now, I think I'll show you a few slides to highlight some of the achievements I've talked about. One of the first achievements we had was convincing government to remain on our side as we go in for biotechnology. Around 2003, there was a lot of bad publicity for biotechnology in Africa, in Zambia, in Zimbabwe, in all countries around us, and the government started wavering. So we used the opportunity of the capacity we had acquired in our lab to invite the president of Uganda and the key members of his cabinet to visit us at Kawanda, and we explained to him what we intended to do in biotechnology and how useful it was going to be for the country. That picture is not clear, but the person you see in a cap again and the white jacket is the President Yoweri Museveni, again listening to scientists learning about biotechnology. And after this meeting, he went and announced to the world that he was fully mobilized to support biotechnology, and some leaders in the region started also following suit, saying, maybe there is something President Museveni is seeing. They started relaxing their stance against biotechnology. We consider this a very big achievement. In terms of human capacity, we've trained many scientists, six scientists. We have now 9 PhDs going. And this, we have a specialized greenhouse level 2 for handling transgenic materials. And this was given to us by the ABST2, by USAID through the ABST2 program. Here we have the Minister of Agriculture and the USAID Mission Director in Uganda at the opening ceremony of the biosafety greenhouse I've just shown you. And that's continued participation of our planners. In the interest of time, the achievements we have, I'm going to summarize them in a few sentences. I will not go through all the bullets. Let me say that we've been able to establish a banana transformation system. With this system in place, we can access any genes that need evaluation and put them in bananas and evaluate them. We've moved to a stage where we've evaluated these degenerated plants under greenhouse conditions, and we've moved a step further and evaluated them under field conditions, under confined field trials, and we are now already making selections to go on to the next level. And I will quickly take you through again a few highlights. This is the first confined field trial that we did. It was planted in 2007. It was the first of any kind in Uganda. And it helped us to put the regulatory system in place. And it gave the research team capacity to make applications and also to assist other researchers in making the applications. For instance, we assisted cotton, we assisted cassava, and in making applications, and we are assisting several other programs in doing transformation. This is a current confined field trial for bacterial wilt resistance. It's an interesting one where we have we've selected 11 lines that have good resistance, and these ones we are preparing to test them in multiplication if we get permission soon. And we consider this our most advanced step now. I am including this slide to confirm that Uganda government is still strongly behind what we do. Recently, again, President Museveni, after hearing about our achievement with the bacterial wilt resistance gene and the problem he has with controlling bacterial wilt, he wrote a letter to farmers. I picked a sentence from his letter where he says that experts infused genes of pepper into the banana in order to make it resistant. They are now trying it in different situations to see how it will behave. We hope we shall soon have a variety which cannot be attacked by the banana wilt. That was the president writing to farmers. So we solidly have him behind us, and we are happy with this development. In our next step, we have hundreds of transgenic bananas where we've inserted resistance to nematodes, and we've got approval to do the next field trial. That's the next confined field trial. In conclusion, let me say, the project has created significant impact in Uganda and has made NARO a leader in advancing Africa's capacity to conduct biotechnology research and development. This success is attributed to the following factors. Number one, the innovation of the two USAID awards, the Leader and Associate Awards, that complemented each other to create the kind of result you are seeing. Previously, we've had small, disjointed awards which are not complementary, but in this case, the two awards are complementary, and the results that you achieve when awards are complementary, you can see. Number two, the synergy created by partnerships between a well-facilitated lab. We consider ourselves lucky. We are well-facilitated at NARO, and the international institutions. There is a synergy when you work together, and what you are seeing is the result of the synergy of a local institution working with international institutions to achieve the results you are seeing. Then strong support for biotechnology in Uganda by politicians. The political support we have has been instrumental, and we cannot underestimate the contribution it has made. Then comprehensive capacity building integrated with research. Previously, there were efforts to train us, and in most cases, people would be picked and they would be trained in European or American universities. You can train on wheat, and then you go back to work on bananas. This one was unique in that the training was directly linked to product development, and you can already see the results we are getting. And I think this is something that needs to continue to happen in both in Uganda and in other places. Then strong government commitment, that one I've already elaborated. Long-term international partnerships. This, when you are dealing with a long-term solution, the partnership needs to be supported to be long-term. In most cases, projects from government-to-government projects are very short, 4 years, and they change to a different area. But when you are dealing with a long-term technology, you need more long commitment. Then sustained funding. This funding we've succeeded the way we've done because of sustained funding, and I hope this sustained funding will continue. And I have a feeling if in other places the funding was sustained like it has been done in Uganda, the results like we have would be seen. Finally, the empowered local institution. I think here credit goes to Cornell, the way they've handled our project. The Cornell came in deliberately to empower us to do everything. The decisions, they are providing a backstopping role and giving us an opportunity to do what we feel needs to be done. And in the process, we've got empowered, and I have a motivated team which is willing to continue and until we get all the results we are capable of getting. Finally, I wish to thank the defending agencies, USAID, Uganda government, for the contributions that have brought us this far. But in this finding, there is also there are others who are finding some different activities in the lab which complement the support we get from ABSP2 for this particular project. For instance, the equipment that we use, if some of the projects supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation bring in an equipment, we all use it, and we find that complementary, and we thank them for that input too. And the research partners who are listed, Cornell, University of Leeds, Catholic University of Louvain, AATF, Venganza, and IIT, these are our technical partners who are directly involved in the ABS2 project. But there are also others like Queensland University of Technology, Biovasti, Macquarie University, who work on processes that we apply when implementing the biotechnology, the ABS2 activities. So there is a lot of complementarity in the lab. And I thank you very much for your attention.